The Independence Festival takes place in Mitchelstown, County Cork, over the August bank holiday weekend. The festival is known for its promotion of Irish indie rock music, but there are lots of other things happening there as well, including a healthy lineup of spoken word acts, one of whom is poet Erin Fornoff, who's with me in studio this evening. Erin, you in fact started out in politics in a sort of a way in the 2008 campaign for Barack Obama, before he was president. How did the move happen from politics to poetry?
Well, part of the job as a campaign worker on that campaign in 2008 was learning how to tell your own story and teaching all the other staff and volunteers to speak their own narrative, to do this thing called the story of self, story of us, story of now, where people really go in with their own personal reasons for working for him rather than just memorizing policy points. And I guess that was kind of a bit of a basis, but after...
I suppose most people, if they were asked to tell their own story, would stand up and tell their own story. Why did it become poetry for you? Were you used to public speaking? Was it something that bothered you, or how did it become a poem?
I mean, honestly, part of it was that if you do it as a poem, you can get free tickets to music festivals.
Honesty is best.
No, it just turns it into more of an art form then, rather than being promotion or propaganda, I guess.
And did the poem that you wrote was around Hurricane Katrina then, or was that that would have been at a later date, was it?
Well, I did a speech, actually. I had to, as a campaign worker, I did a speech before a James Taylor concert where I did a story of self and talked about my relatives who had suffered terribly in Hurricane Katrina. And it was the most terrifying experience I can remember because there were so many people there, and James Taylor was a bit of an idol, and I was scared out of my mind. But eventually I took that talk and turned it into a poem.
All right, yeah. So you get free tickets to a festival, but you may have to perform in front of several tens of thousands
yes,
of people as well.
I shouldn't say that. I should make up some higher artistic ideal for it.
Well, there is the catch is that you have to do the performance yourself. All right, then. You came to Ireland then. What brought you here, and how did you become involved in the scene here, the poetry scene?
Well, after the campaign, you know, we were the happiest bunch of unemployed people in the world. But we were kind of waiting around to hear about jobs in the administration, but it was taking a really long time. And previously, I had worked for a nonprofit in Washington, D.C. that was setting up an office in Ireland. So I just decided to come over for 6 months or a year to help set up here. And I just fell in love with it. And I kind of found my home and community largely in the poetry scene and the artistic world here.
You're going to perform one of your poems for us now, which is called The Opposite of a Thank You. And this, I think, in some ways summarizes some of the more unusual offers you were made to you in the poetry slam scene.
Yeah. Unusual, to say the least, I guess, or maybe all too common. So this is called The Opposite of a Thank You. And it's about someone who is a mentor of mine over here. He sits across the diner table, says, "I find you hard to read," he says. "Sometimes I think you love me, and then you don't seem interested." He tells me he's been vexed by my mixed messages. He tells me how he loves sex with women. "What does your wife think of them?" I stutter. "Ah, she doesn't like it much," he mutters. "But I'm a natural flirt, and if I'm doing the dirt, she knows I just love when two people meet," says the man with grandkids past their first kiss. I can be very discreet. Then he leans in all serious and insistent, says, "I've got a lot of contacts in the literary world, but I don't help people who are distant." Oh, no, he didn't. But he did. And God forbid that stinger in this chat. He's got a cautionary about a contender who got wary and went elsewhere. What a pity. Couldn't help her. Of course, you've never heard of her. And now he's here to sort me out. So, Erin, give us a shout whenever you're ready. And I'm already unsteady when he goes like this. Oh, the responses clog in my throat as he sits across me with his soggy sandwich and takes my silence for consideration. And my deliberation was, do I split and leave the bill or calmly spill my soda down his head? But I couldn't meet his eyes instead. Now I sit across him with my head bowed and my shoulders risen. And on a scale of one to criminal, I guess it's on the minor end. But then I wonder if he likes my discomfort, if he's gotten any converts, how frequently has all this worked? And I wonder why I can talk the talk until I actually need to say stuff, why I can walk the walk only in retrospect, why I can populate my mind with 100 perfect lines only when the moment's passed. And as the waiter asks, who's paying? I sit quiet in the din of a great disheartening. And in the face of his gaze and all the things I don't say, I still worry about how mad I'll make him for reciting his lines out here verbatim, and that is the most disheartening thing of all. So if I seem freaked, if he takes my quietness for weakness, it's just that I'm distinctly fatigued by this tired casting couch cliché as he sits across from me to say that the keys to the kingdom are down his jeans. So this is the opposite of a thank you letter. It's a manifesto for better, that we can be through with all these sordid things, can lift each other up without any strings, that we can be more than where we've come from, with men with power and women with none. So I'll speak after the fact and hope that I'm heard, because all I have is words, and he's got a lot of contacts in the literary world.
The opposite of a thank you, first by Erin Fornoff. I am glad to say that any success you have had as a poet is purely on the basis of your words. Yes, this
yes,
is true. Absolutely
true. That is true.
What's peculiar and refreshing about that poem is that it's full of anger, but it's full of humorous anger. What sense of emotion did you have when you were writing it?
Well, I mean, there's an element where you do think of the perfect thing to say only after it's done. I think the French call it like staircase wit, like when you're already out the door walking down the stairs, you think of the right thing. So there's a frustration in that as well. But you have to have humor in anger or in sadness. It's the only way to handle it, you know?
And in terms of what you do, and the scene that you've been working on here, the slam poetry scene, why do you think it's so active and so healthy? Because it certainly strikes me that it is.
It's definitely exploding over here.
In a way that it isn't in America, or did you come across it over there?
I think Ireland might be a couple years behind, I guess, or not behind in a negative sense, but yeah. It just wasn't a thing here for a while. Well, it's totally free. You don't need gear. You don't need studio time so much. You don't need a lot of equipment. It's just you and the stuff you've memorized. It's a very easy thing to organize. I think poets are the natural resource of Ireland in some ways. That's a bit of a cliche, but I think it's true anyway. And, I did Glastonbury Festival last year, and I was amazed at how professional it was and how there are poets that are working full-time over there. But the other thing I came away with is that the talent in Ireland is as good or better. It's just the scene isn't as developed.
And performing at a big festival is quite a task as well, but clearly you're used to that since you had the James Taylor experience.
I'm hopefully a lot less nervous than I was for that one.
You're going to finish up by giving us a poem, and I presume this is the sort of thing you'd be performing at Independence. This poem, I guess, is suitable for today in particular, the weather that we're having.
Yeah, it's an honour of the weather, and I'm delighted to be able to perform it with some of the other ones at Independence, like Colm Keegan and John Cummins, who are two All-Ireland Poetry Slam champs, and it'll be great. So if anybody's down in Cork for that. So this is called Swimming with Seals, and it's in honour of the day that's in it, as the Irish would say. Swimming with Seals. You can see she's still a dancer by her stretch in reaching for a cup on a high shelf. How she swims as one long sinew from fingertip to pointed toe, an even stroke past the suck and thrash of waves on rocks. We jump. The cold is a slap that leaves me clutching at air, but it doesn't even faze her. We're at the bare edge of cliffs that rear up so high overhead, we arch onto our backs to get their measure. We can see past Docky Island to Port Marnock, past Greystone's ruined harbor to Wicklow Head, and she begins to laugh as two seals arise from nowhere, rubber-headed like tires, here to investigate. I'm trying to swim without moving, but she goes out with them farther than I dare, out where the current sweeps you hard left towards Dublin Bay and the stream of it catches the light, the nap of its surface, an oily river atop the water. two black heads and one brown back. She works the knuckles of her feet, dives as they dive and rise. They bob like needles embroidering as they go below us. They separate and rise again. They are two curved parentheses around us. Two black heads and one brown back, bodies fully inhabited, a dancer dancing with seals who always seem to be playing, even in the serious work of survival. Two black heads and one brown back. The shock of the water snatches my breath, and the rest of it steals whatever breath I had left.
Swimming with Seals, written and performed by Erin Fornough. Erin will be appearing at the Independence Festival this August Bank Holiday weekend. And for full details of Erin's events, the other spoken word events, and indeed the music happening, go to the website independencefestival.com.